How great is our God? Wouldn't we like to find out? I guess we'll spend eternity trying to find out how great is our God. Amen?
Amen.
But tonight we had a sampling of His greatness. The teaching tonight is on becoming God's champion, becoming a champion of God. And so it is appropriate that we start off with some miracles. So at the healing service before this, we had a number of people come up, and Walter came up with severe congestion, sinus congestion, had challenges. And by the time the intermission came, all 3 minutes of it, Walter was down to a zero, total healing. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And Cicero came. He fell yesterday, came today on crutches. Those are your crutches, right? He came in crutches. And when he got up to come forward for prayer for healing, two people helped him up. That's how much challenge and pain he was in. And he got prayed for, kept going down and down. And he told me during the praise and worship, he's down to a two. And he got up out of the chair by himself, and you sat back down by yourself?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you down to a one yet? Not yet, but you will before you get home, right?
Amen.
Amen. We agree. Before you get home, you'll be down to a one or a zero. Amen?
Amen.
So we all want to become God's champion. For Jesus said the works that he did, we will do, and greater works. But I don't think that's for every believer. I think, first of all, it's for the believers who have chosen to be disciples, to continue in the Word, and to know the truth, which sets them free. The difference between a regular, everyday believer and a disciple, Jesus says, is, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I think a step in the direction of being God's champion is to continue in the Word and be a disciple. But that's not enough. I think we need to set a goal. Me, I like to setting goals that are as high as I can think. What's the use of making small goals that you can accomplish? Set things that you can't accomplish, then it's impossible for you, and that's when God can help you, when it's impossible. If you can do it by yourself, hey, you don't need God. Not only that, He won't help you. If you can do it for yourself and you chose not to do it, He won't help you. He would be breaking His word to help you if you can do it for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Because He has given you a free will and you're choosing not to do it. Here's an idea of what I mean by setting a goal high. About 30 years ago, when I was about 5 or 6, maybe 7, maybe a bit older, I decided I was going to run the LA Marathon for a number of reasons. I had never known anybody personally who had run the marathon. I had never run a marathon. I had never run further than 11 miles at that time. And had only done that once. But I decided I was going to run the marathon. Now, there's a man named Jim Fix that was very famous in those days. He wrote the book on running. I mean, he literally wrote the book on running. He was the running expert. And he was running inside out. Had run many marathons. And they went to Hawaii to run a marathon. And halfway through the marathon, he stopped to have breakfast. I understand he had bacon and eggs. Finished the race, had a heart attack, and dropped down dead. That didn't help his book that much. No, what happened here? Well, see, it's not enough to know what to do. You have to do it. It's not enough to join the gym. You got to go. He wrote the book, but he didn't do what he was teaching. You've got to do what you're teaching. You've got to do what you know is right. Now, why would he ever do that? Because of pride. He thought he was so good, so great, had run so many marathons, that a marathon was no big deal. But he compounded with breakfast. He broke all his rules. Well, Jim was an athlete. I've never been accused by anybody of being an athlete. The closest I've been accused of being an athlete is when I was called an active bookworm. Okay? But I decided I was going to run the marathon. And all the experts said, what you do is you train up to about 20 miles, maybe 22 miles, and that's enough. You can run 20, 22 miles. You'll be in great shape, being in good shape, and the adrenaline will get you the last 6 miles. Well, that was not my idea of a mountain. So I trained really hard. I mean, I really trained hard because I'm not a jock. And before my last workout, last long run workout before the marathon, I ran 28 miles, which is to date my longest distance. I did 28 miles. My philosophy is very simple. If I can do more than I need to do, then when I need to do something, I know I can do it because I've done it. And so I ran the marathon. I had no problems. Absolutely zero. I wasn't stiff, sore. I didn't need an ambulance. Passed out other people who needed ambulances. They were ahead of me until they needed ambulances. And when I finished the marathon, I didn't even sit down for a while. I kept walking around and everything. That's the kind of goals I like to set. And you're all here on a Friday night. You could be out partying. That might catch disappear every Saturday night. I don't know where they're going, but it must be a really good party because they never miss a Saturday night party. Every Saturday night, they're all gone. Okay? One day I'm going to follow them and see where's this party. But my point is, you're here on a Friday night. That tells me you love the Lord. You're serious about it. And I think maybe you would love to have a mountain that's so high only God can help you get over it. And in these ending days, there are many, many such mountains. Well, the way to do it is pick a champion. At least for me. You pick a champion. Pick somebody and say, that's my champion. I'm going to set my sights on this person. And obviously, I can't get there without God's help. And the Bible is full of champions. I'm going to mention a few. My personal, well, I guess I'm down to two. I got two champions that I love. First one is Enoch. I mean, how simple and how perfect. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Oh, cool. Whoa, what more do you have to say beside that? Don't you want to walk with God until God likes you so much he just takes you? The dude was not even born again. How did it work out the process? I guess his fate was counted as righteousness, just like Abraham. Abraham is another one. It said explicitly, Abraham's faith was so great. He believed God and trusted him so much. His faith was counted as righteousness. And I'm sure the same must have been true with Enoch. How about Elijah? Powerful miracles. Risked his life with powerful miracles. If God didn't come through, he'd be gone. And then one day he said, I'm going to just do one better than Enoch. I'm going to go up, man, in the latest form of transportation. Those chariots of fire. Yeah. And he goes up, chariots of fire, 8-cylinder chariots. 8-horse chariots. I don't know. Okay, fire propulsion. And he goes up. Yeah, goes up. How could we not want to be like these people? And then Moses, with a little rod, he parts a sea. I mean, here's a whole army, the best, biggest, baddest army around in the world at that time, is coming to destroy him. And all he's got to fight for him are slaves without weapons. And he takes a rod and destroys them all by the effects of the rod. He stretches out the rod. It parts. They cross over to the Red Sea. And when the army comes in, whoo, they're all gone. All done. What a champion. Again, he wasn't even born again. I kind of like Joshua, since I've got his name. And you know, that wasn't his name either, right? His name was Oshea. was changed by God to Joshua. But this man wanted to win so badly, he stopped the sun from moving. Do you ever want to win that badly that you want to stop the sun from moving? We should. Jesus was greater than all of them. And he said, the works that I do, you will do in greater. And most of us here have already done greater works than Jesus. For example, most of us here have led people to Jesus. We've led them through the process of being born again. Jesus never did that. He couldn't, because he wasn't yet risen from the dead. Just one wonderful thing, in fact, probably the most wonderful thing, he couldn't do it. He set it up so we can do it. How about Maria Woodward Eder? Jesus healed people who were deaf and dumb, and he healed people who were blind. But it's not recorded in the Bible that he healed somebody who was deaf, dumb, and blind. But Maria Woodward Eder, through the power of the Holy Spirit, did exactly that. A young boy, deaf, dumb, and blind, she got him totally healed. You don't do that by counseling him. That comes only from intimate presence of God in your life. So do we want to be a champion? I think pick somebody and be a champion. How about Peter? He walks by and his shadows heals everybody. And they bring people in, and everybody they brought got healed. Paul laying his hand on handkerchiefs, and people get healed, and demons are cast out because of his handkerchief. Paul, on his way in a prison ship, as a prisoner, and the ship sinks, and they marooned in this island, they land on this island. I mean, talk about being at the bottom of the ladder, right? You're a prisoner, your ship has sunk, you've come through a storm. You're on an island among barbarians, and you're adding wood to a fire to keep warm, and a viper comes out and bites you. Talk about adding insult to injury. And many people say, what's wrong with you, God? Where are you when I need you? Things couldn't get any worse. I thought things couldn't get any worse. I know a viper has bitten me. It's a deadly viper. So they're all waiting for him to drop dead. They figured, this guy's a criminal, and a viper's bitten him. We did not need to know he was a prisoner on board the ship because the viper bit him because he's a criminal. But the headlines next day in the Los Angeles Times, whoa, viper bites Paul, viper dies. Paul walks in victory. They were so amazed, they thought he was a god. They brought him to the boss's home, Publius's home. And his mother-in-law was very sick. And he prayed for him and got him healed, got her healed. And they gave him all kind of goodies, found him a ship, and it took off again. I heard one man teach that he had so much stuff given to them that when they got to Rome, he lived for 3 years on the proceeds of what was given to him. Talk about coming from the bottom up. Isn't that a great model? What a great model. And my second favorite, my two models are Enoch and then John, the apostle of love. Because with love, you got everything. And that's what I want, love. You know, Jesus preached to multitudes. He had many disciples, but only 12 became apostles. Of the 12, only 3 were at the Mount of Transfiguration. And at the cross, there's only one there, John. Isn't that a champion we want to be? So let's pick a model and become a champion. You want to be a champion, you must have anticipation, saturation, and maturation. Anticipation. We've been doing the anticipation, thinking of all these wonderful things done by these wonderful men of God. Anticipation. You must see it in the Word. We've just been seeing it in the Word. You must see it in your mind. You must see it in your heart. And you must see it in your words. See it in the Word of God. See it in your mind. See it in your heart. And see it in your words. So, pick a model. Pick a role model. Besides Jesus, of course, he is our role model. And then choose one scripture that's very powerful to you. For example, you could choose Romans 8:37. In all these things, you're more than conquerors. And a more modern translation or a higher level of translation would be, in all these things, you are a super conqueror. That's what we want to be. We want to be super conquerors. We want to be overcomers. In the book of Revelation, there are seven letters written to seven churches, which are representative of the state of the church today. Seven letters to seven churches. All seven letters include the phrase, "For he that overcometh." You're not going to be an overcomer if you don't have the mindset you want to be one of God's champions. Champions overcome. Champions never quit. Winners never quit. Quitting makes you a loser. Quitting means you're drawing back. And God says, my soul takes no pleasure when you draw back. So see it in your mind. Pick that scripture. Start with one scripture. Picture it in your mind. Memorize it. And visualize the words as you memorize it. Visualize it in your head. And then start visualizing that working in your life. Find other scriptures to support it. You get it in your mind and you visualize it in your mind and you're renewing the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Let me read that to you. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let me read that to you from different translation. I just quoted the King James. Here from the Amplified. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Get the scripture. Make it your own. Memorize it. Visualize it. Focus on it. And see it working in your life. All in your mind. We haven't left the mind yet. Here from the Living Bible. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Not a thing about standing still. Nothing in the Word of God stands still. Nothing in the Word stands still. You're going to change. The only question you have is, are you going to change towards God or where? Or away from God? That's the only question that's relative. Where do you want to change? Me, I want to change into being a champion. From the NIV, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. See, we want this attitude of being a champion. We want to find that championship scripture. Make it our own. Memorize it. Visualize it. Seeing it change us. And seeing our attitude change. That instead of walking around slouching, you walk around head high because you are a son of God. Bible says you're a son of God. How is that for a good scripture to start with? You're a son of God. And you're a super conqueror. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that should straighten our backs, lift up our chins, and walk high. You ever see these Marines walk around? They walk around as if they own the world. They're trained to walk around properly. We can take a lesson from them. We are sons of God. We are ambassadors of heaven and earth. Let's look like it. Let's walk like it. Let's think like it. Let's be renewed in the attitude of our minds. How about from the Message Bible? I'm going to read this whole thing. This is from Ephesians 4:20-24. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. This is from the Message Bible. My assumption is that you've paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. I tell you, one thing we don't have here at ABC is an excuse of ignorance. Okay? Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. Everything, and I mean everything, connected with that old man, that old way of life must go. Stop and ask yourself right now, how much of the old man, of the old life, is hanging on to me? Why does it have to go? It's rotten through and through. That's good modern English. The old life must go because it's rotten through and through. You know, one rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel. Isn't that true? I mean, it's a saying, but it's also a truth. It became a saying because it's a truth. One rotten apple will spoil the whole barrel. One bad habit, one demon leaving and hanging over from the old man and the old life that you welcome as your pet demon, as you welcome as, this is my habit, I've been this way all my life, I can't change, will spoil the whole barrel. And you are the barrel. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely, say with me please, entirely, one more time, entirely new way of life. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. That's what it's saying here. Get rid of it. It's rotten through and through. Be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And the word transform is metamorphoso. The process of becoming a new creature. The process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. God wants us to become his butterfly, his champion. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. Now listen carefully. I said all that to get here. A life renewed from the inside, a life renewed from the inside, and working itself out into your conduct. As God accurately reproduces his character in you. Because God lives inside you and he wants his character, the fruit of the Spirit, to flow from the inside out and change your life, your behavior, and your character. That all starts with renewing your mind. Pick that scripture, change your mental attitude, and decide you're going to be a champion for God. So once you have started seeing it in your mind, now let's see it in your heart, because that's where the spiritual power comes from your heart. Visualize yourself in your heart. We've all had daydreams and night dreams and fantasies. Let the word of God manifesting in your life. Let the promises of God be so full of your heart that you visualize it in your heart and you see yourself acting on the scripture the way you should act. Scripture says you're a champion. See yourself as a champion. You can do all things. See you overcoming every challenge. See in your heart. Make it your own. Dream about it. Philippians 4:8 says, think upon these things. If there be any truth, if it's true or honest, just lovely pure, things of good report, if there be any praise, any virtue, that's what you think about. That's what you think about. You think about God and his promises and these things. And you don't dwell on the voice of the enemy telling you how downtrodden you are, how bad you are, how condemned you are, how sinful you are, how much of a failure you are. All that, you wash it away because it's from the old man and it's rotten through and through. Now, once you have this in your heart, visualizing in your heart, as best as you can, live and act on the scripture as you do in your dreams. You see yourself as a champion? Nobody can prevent you pushing your back, your shoulder, lifting up your head, and walking like a champion. You can think you're a champion. You can say you're a champion. You can have it in your heart, and you can walk like it. And nobody can stop you but you. You're the only one that can stop you doing that. And you keep doing that, and little by little, you will become the champion. How do you become the champion little by little? I call it saturation. Saturation. When you go to college, they saturate you with classes. They saturate you with homework. Your whole life, almost your whole life, becomes built around the college, around the university, around the classes. If you're like me, you wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares that you missed your class. Anybody been there, done that beside me? I see smiles all over, right? You're so saturated that it's the center of your life. And you do that for 4 years or 2 years, depending on the kind of college you go with. You're totally saturated. That's what you want to do with God, is saturate yourself in Jesus Christ. Saturate yourself in the Word. Because everything else is the old man, and it's rotten through and through. When Kenneth Copeland, who's one of the great men of God on earth today, when he got started, he was going no place, really slow in his old car. Okay? It's a little beat-up jalopy. And he heard Kenneth Hagin speak. And somehow he got blessed. I'm sure he didn't buy it because he had no money. He got blessed with a set of tapes. And he took it home. And for like 2 or 3 months, he listened to every tape. 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, over and 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 over. For 2 or 3 months. And then somehow he had an opportunity to speak at a full gospel men's fellowship breakfast. And he got up to speak, and all this Kenneth Hagin in him just exploded out of him. And he preached Kenneth Hagin up and down one side of the room and through the kitchen and out into the lobby. Kenneth Hagin coming out of him was all Kenneth Hagin. It was an awesome meeting. Because he had pumped it into himself. He had saturated himself with the Word of God. To go into this kind of saturation, the first thing you have to do is present your body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Every sacrifice has two parts. There's the blood and there's the body. Okay? It's hard to get the blood of an animal without the body. Okay? So there's always blood on the body. And this sacrifice we have, this covenant we have, this New Testament covenant, was sealed with the blood of Jesus. He provided the blood. No, he provided his body, but his body was provided to close out the old covenant. See, healing is your birthright as a believer. Healing belongs to the children of God from the old covenant. Healing is not a New Testament benefit. It's an old covenant benefit. Psalm 103. Right? Forget the Lord who heals all your diseases and forgives all your iniquities. It's old covenant. But to get that old covenant manifested in your life, Jesus had to give his body for it. And having given his body, he moved us into Jubilee. We live in Jubilee, not because this is the year of Jubilee according to the Jewish calendar, but because Jesus is our Jubilee. And everything that was promised to us under the old covenant belongs to us in Christ Jesus. But now with his blood, he started a new covenant called the New Testament. And in this new covenant, with the blood of the New Testament being Jesus, that is poured on the mercy seat, somebody has to provide the body. And that's you and me. We provide our body as a living sacrifice. Not to shed blood. Blood has been shed already. No more blood needs to be shed. Jesus' precious blood was shed once and for all. But we need to provide our bodies as a living sacrifice. And it says in 1 Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice. The sacrifice of providing our body for this New Testament covenant is the process of being obedient, which we started with the disciples. If you continue in my word, that is obedience. We are obedient to God. When we are obedient to God, then we move way beyond merely getting healed. We move merely beyond the old covenant promises. We may move into the New Testament covenant, where we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far, far, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, where we are joined here with Jesus Christ, where everything the Father has been given to Jesus, and we are joined here with Jesus, where we have power and authority in three worlds through the name of Jesus. That's what we get in the New Testament. That's what we get from the blood of Jesus. That's what we get when we take his blood and complete the sacrifice by presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. So saturation is give your body, be obedient. My body belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. Saturation continues when you renew your mind to the Word of God. You now have some of the Word of God in your mind. So everything that exalts itself against the Word of God, you cast it down. You cast on imagination and everything that says, hey, I'm better, I'm more important. You prefer me to the Word of God. You say, no. I cast you down in the name of Jesus. That's the beginning of spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And you continue with that saturation of your mind by studying the Word of God daily. Everything comes from the Word of God. If you don't study the Word of God, you will fail. You must study the Word of God. You must speak the Word of God. You must act on the Word of God if you want to succeed. And definitely if you want to be a champion. There is no choice. The Word of God, everything was created by the Word of God. God created everything with his word. It says the whole world is supported by the Word of God, by the power of his word. Everything. He framed the world with his words. Everything comes from his word. And when he gave the earth and everything to mankind, and they turned it over to Satan, who became the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, to defeat the God of this world, what did God do? He couldn't come down to the earth and do it himself because he had given it to mankind and he can't violate his word. So his word became flesh and was born of a woman to have the legal right on earth, and his word made flesh. Jesus destroyed the evil one. That's how important the word is. We must saturate our minds with the word of God. And we must apply it to every situation of life. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 puts it this way. Blessed is the man who does not... Hang on a second. I got it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the banks of the river, which brings forth its fruit in the season. And its leaves shall not wither. And everything he does shall prosper. Everything you do will prosper if you saturate your mind with the word of God. And if you speak it and do it. And we're going to do that because we are going to be God's champion. Now, the next one should logically be doing it in your heart. Right? Body, mind, next one should be heart. But the title I have is be a loving, forgiving person. Because if you're a loving, forgiving person, then you are living the word in your heart. If you're a loving, forgiving person, Christ dwells in your heart. If you're a loving, forgiving person, the word of God is engrafted in your heart. And out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Every issue of life in your life is affected by, controlled by, the word of God which comes out of your heart. Out of your heart flows all the issues of life. So live it in your heart. Renew your mind to the Word of God. Saturate your mind to the Word of God. But in your heart, you live it. How do you live the Word of God? Love God with your heart, soul, and mind. Be a loving, forgiving person. Confess your sins frequently. And if any interaction with any person, whether directly in person, by telephone, by radio or television, or text, if anything somebody does causes you to lose your joy, peace, or patience, or to diminish it, just a fraction, if your peace, joy, patience is diminished in the least bit by an interaction with any person, forgive them from your heart and bless them. If you want to be a champion. I'm not talking about simply getting healed. I'm talking about being a champion. You're not going to be a champion if you're not healed. In the process of becoming a champion, your health will improve. Your finances will improve. Everything will improve. Set your sights on being a champion. Do not set your sights on being healed. That's an Old Testament promise. Let's live in the New Testament. No, if any interaction, what it says here, if any interaction decreases your joy. What about when your cat bites you? How about when your car won't start? Do they increase your joy, peace, and patience? Or do they decrease your joy, peace, and patience? Have you ever forgiven your car? You should. Not for the car's sake. The car doesn't care. But for your sake. Forgive your cats. Just forgive everything. Maintain your joy, peace, and patience. And forgive yourself. And especially forgive your body. Because your body will oftentimes disappoint you. And disappointing reduces your joy, peace, and patience. So we are saturated in our body, in our mind, in our hearts. Why do we do all that? To be conformed to His image. Okay? To be conformed to His image. Romans 8:29 says, "For Him for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." Why? That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See? God wants to see you doing the works that Jesus did and greater. He wants Jesus to be the firstborn and you being His brother. That's why we are joined heirs. That's why Jesus says, "That which I do, you will do and greater." Firstborn among many brethren. Be a champion. How do you do that? With all this saturation, then in every situation, do what Christ would do. Because He is our ultimate role model. Handle every situation the way Christ would do it. In joy, peace, patience, in compassion, and in authority, power, and dominion. All of the above. That's who Christ is. That's a little bit of who Christ is. And I summarize all this with something that I believe the Lord gave me 25 years ago or so. Is be petrified with the rock of your salvation. Petrification is a process where a piece of wood is replaced by stone, by minerals, becomes stone. A petrified piece of wood is a piece of wood that looks exactly like the wood it replaces, but it's all stone. And when you pick it up, you're shocked by the weight because it's all stone. There's a petrified forest in Arizona. Little by little, every fiber of that piece of wood is replaced by the minerals. How does that happen? The wood is sitting in mineral-rich water. It's saturated in mineral-rich water. It doesn't pop in there once in a while. It's there all the time. And there, under the influence of the mineral-rich water, the minerals replace all of the wood, because all of the wood becomes rotten and rots away, and it rots away cell by cell, is replaced by stone, by minerals. And in the same way, we saturate ourselves with God, and we replace the old man, because it's all rotten, 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 and we replace it with the character of God, with the fruit of the Spirit, with Jesus Christ in our heart, with saturation in the Word of God. That's how you become a champion. If a stupid piece of wood can do it and become a rock, you and I can be petrified with the rock of our salvation. Amen. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all of that is just anticipation and saturation. Let's talk about maturation. Once you're saturated long enough, you start to mature and walk in maturity. If you're persistent in your authority, if you don't give up, if you're led by the Spirit of God, if you choose to live in dominion, then when you do all this, you shall be alive and remain when Jesus returns. A champion shall be alive and remain when Jesus returns. That's what the seven letters are telling you. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. Not he who is sitting in a hospital bed with 25 tubes coming out of him. And the rapture comes and is caught up to heaven, leaving the tubes behind. He who overcomes. He who is a champion. He who sets his goal higher than he can do, relying on God to bring him up there. He who desires to be saturated with the anointing of God, to be saturated with the presence of God. That's who is the overcomer. That's who becomes a super conqueror. That's who is going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. So be persistent in your authority. Live your life, not once in a while for practice, but live your life by speaking in the name of Jesus with authority over every challenge. Over every challenge. Every challenge must bow to the name of Jesus. And Mark 11:23 says, if you don't doubt in your heart, it will move. Greet every challenge with joy. Greet every challenge with joy. Every time a challenge comes, don't fall back and say, oh me, why me, where's God? No. And the bigger the challenges is the bigger the testimony, the praise. Like Sister came here tonight. We started a service talking about Walter and Cecil. Why? Because they're the prettiest guys around? Well, they may be, but that's not the reason. We started a service because they came here with the biggest challenges. And they got their victory. And having got the victory, they now have a testimony because they overcame the test. Yeah, they came here for a little additional help, but I know both of them. They've been pounding the devil for I don't know how long. Ever since the challenge started, they've been pounding the devil. The devil walked in here with them tonight, or at least some of his demons, and the demons had bloody nose. All we did was finish it up. So count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. For the trying of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect course, that you may be entire and perfect, lacking nothing. That's the champion. Entire and perfect, lacking nothing. How do you do that? By pounding every challenge that comes by. By keeping a right mental attitude. The Word of God says, I'm going to win. By visualizing in your heart the victory. Speaking of the victory out and walking in authority all the time. And as you proceed through life, be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the adult children of God. We're all children of God. But the difference between the baby and the adult in the family is who chooses to be led by the Spirit of God. It's your choice. To be led by the Spirit of God, base every decision on the Word of God or on the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. Remember that the Holy Spirit is in you to guide you into all truth. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's being blessed. He knows where the good jobs are. He knows how to get your healing manifestation the fastest way. He knows how you can avoid the place where bombs are going to go off. Avoid the planes that are going to crash. Avoid the food that's contaminated. Pastor Karen was really hungry. Loved mangoes. She's Jamaican. Went to the store and saw these beautiful mangoes, and she's swooping in the mangoes. But she checked. Okay, God, I'm going to buy these mangoes. Is that okay? And she's reaching for the mangoes because, hey, it's a piece of cake. The Lord said, no. I beg your pardon. What did you say? I said, no. I can't buy the mangoes. Don't buy the mangoes. So she didn't buy the mangoes. Next day they learned there's a recall on those mangoes. A recall on the mangoes. Am I correct? Right? Live in dominion. If you walk with authority, if you attempt, do your best to be led by the Spirit of God, you will end up walking in dominion. See yourself living with dominion over all areas of your life. You have dominion over your body. You have dominion over sickness, disease, death, demons. Dominion over your finances. Dominion over your surroundings. You are called to walk in dominion. But you got to see it in your mind first. Then you got to visualize it in your heart. And you got to speak it out and practice it. It's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a coconut tree. Okay? You'll walk in dominion. You have to walk in dominion. Champions are going to walk in dominion. It's not a question, are they or are they not? Listen, Joshua is not here, and he stopped the sun. Elijah is not here, and he brought on fire. But you're here. And if you did the things that Jesus did and greater, don't you think you're going to do the things that Elijah did and Joshua did and greater? You have to be, because you're a champion of God in the New Testament, where you have all the power in heaven and earth available to you. And that's the champion who's going to overcome to the end and be here when the rapture comes. How do I know that? 1 John 3:2 tells you. Actually, it tells you in different places, but I like 1 John 3:2. When Jesus returns, you shall be as he is. And people think, well, I sit around here, I commit my sinful life, and one day Jesus comes back and he's going to change me and make me perfect. Where in the world in the Bible do you see that happening? Everywhere in the Bible, people get the promise of the God when they meet the conditions. It takes faith. Grace paid for it for us. It belongs to us, but it comes to us through faith, through partnering with God, through meeting the conditions. So we want to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. To do that, you need to walk in authority and dominion as a champion would, so that no matter what the devil throws at you, Zika virus, SARS, whatever it is, you can overcome it. A championship prayer is, in the name of Jesus, every germ, disease, virus, parasite, bacteria, potentially harmful to me, dies in contact with my body. No, isn't that a championship prayer? That's what we need to do. So we are alive and remain when we remain true to the gospel, which states that sin, sickness, disease, and accidents have no place in your life. They have no place in your life. Where does this all start? It starts with the Bible in your heart. Every person here loves God. Every person here believes in the Bible. Every person knows the Bible says this. All you got to do in your heart is make a decision. Just like Abraham did. Abraham made the decision. I'm going to sacrifice my son Isaac. And he took the first steps towards doing it. But he never had to kill his son, because the intention of his heart was enough. God said, you take one step towards me, I take a step towards you. Wherever you are today, all these promises of being a champion can be started by in your heart deciding, I am going to let go the rotten things of the old man and take a new step towards God. I'm going to take one step at a time. I'm going to believe God's word. God is going to take a step towards me, and I can be a champion one step at a time. One step. All these promises are yours if you start in your heart. In my heart, I believe the word of God. In my heart, I'm going to take the step. I'm going to rely on God helping me to continue that step. So you pick your champion. You pick your championship scripture. And then you ask God to help it become real in your heart. Don't think this has to wait for 55 years of practice before you get some blessings. The blessings start with the intention in your heart, which is as soon as you make that intention. So remain true to the gospel. How? I just outlined the process of starting that, which states that sin, sickness, disease, and accidents have no place in your life because Jesus bore all your sins and the wages of sin. See it in the word. See it in your mind. See it in your heart. Declare it with your mouth and live it one step at a time. I'm going to be a champion in Christ Jesus. I'm going to take one step at a time and be a champion in Christ Jesus. And if you want a championship scripture to hang your hat on, I love John 11:26. Jesus says, in his response to Martha, Martha said, if you are here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus said, he shall live again. And she said, yes, I know that he shall rise again on the last day. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. What do you mean he's going to rise on the last day? The resurrection is standing here right now. I am the resurrection. And what do you mean he's dead? I am the life. That same resurrection and life lives in you and in me. I am the resurrection and life. And he says, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And he went out and raised Lazarus from the dead. He says, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. But he that is alive and believes in me shall never die. And he says, do you believe this? And Martha, being a good politician, answered her own question, which is a different question. That's what politicians do, right? If they don't like your question, they create their own and answer their own. And Jesus is saying to each of us tonight, from his word, do you believe this? Do you believe that you're alive and you believe in Jesus and you're planning on being a champion so you shall never die? And that's the roadmap to the rapture. To say, I am never going to die because I have the word of Jesus Christ. That's it. Be a champion. Thank you for your attention. Praise God.